God, I just thank you for the day. Thank you for the beautiful sunshine. God, we just thank you for your presence in our week, your presence in our work. Pray that we just are able to hear from you this morning. Be with Larry as he delivers this message. In Jesus' name, amen.
So you can tell me, what is our theme for the whole week for Shake Up? Talked about it yesterday. Something about picking things up and sending things out. Gathering and scattering, right? So yesterday we talked about being devoted, right? And as part of gathering together, being devoted to God, we committed the whole week and the trip, our hearts hopefully to God. And then this morning we're going to talk about that we are equipped, which is also being part of being gathered. And then the next 2 days, tomorrow and the day after, we'll talk about being scattered. I thought it would be fun if we started off with a music video. I don't know if you're familiar with the band Sidewalk Prophets, but they do a really cool music video for one of their songs called Live Like That. And it shows you a little bit of a cross-section of people. Maybe some poverty, maybe some teenagers, maybe some old people, maybe some young people. But the idea of the song is, how do you want to live your life? What kind of legacy do you want to leave? What kind of impact do you want to make? And you could do that this week. What kind of a life do you want to live this week? What kind of impact do you want to make? And I love the chorus. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So take a look. So how do we do that? How do we live like that? And everything we say and do would point to God. It takes some effort. It takes some being intentional. It takes some hard work, right? It might even take some discipline in your own life. But even today, whether you are like weeding a parking lot and it just feels maybe small and meaningless, okay? Or you're washing dishes, or you're sorting hangers, or you're feeling like maybe your work isn't super significant, I want you to remember that you could be building a bridge by the way that you serve and the way that you work. So whatever you're going to do today, do it to the best of your ability, because it might help build a bridge to a relationship with a person. Okay? It might help build a relationship with the cook or with the lady who runs the vine ministry. Or it might build a bridge, check this out, for a group that's going to follow you. You do a good job now, we'll invite people back. And what if 3 trips from now, later in July, one of those people came to Christ as a big, giant group effort, and you don't get to see that fruit this time? Or maybe people would have done a lot of work in the hearts and lives of people the last couple years, and maybe you'll get to reap some of that harvest this week. Are you with me? Like, you don't know what part you might play. So play your part well, so that you can have a life like this that would reflect Jesus and point to God. So figure out, how could you help point people back to God today? Maybe it's your smile. Maybe it's your attitude. Maybe it's some kind words. Maybe it's what we're going to talk about in a little bit. It's actually sharing the message of God with them. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn to 2 Timothy 3:10. Here's some really good words from Paul to Timothy about his life and a little bit of Paul's resume and an encouragement to Timothy to stand firm and hold on to the Word of God. Can I get one volunteer to read that real loud for us, if you can see that, or read up on the screen?
But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much protection and persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from all of it. Yes. And everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil people and imposters will flourish. They shall both deceive others and will themselves to be deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things that you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you.
All right, cool. I think you guys know the story of Paul very well. Paul wasn't always called Paul. He used to be called Saul. And Saul was actually an active persecutor of the Christian church, working for the Romans and rooting out Christianity in that time, putting Christians in jail for their faith, and maybe even worse. He was actively against the things of God. And he has a crazy God moment on his road to Damascus. He has an encounter with an angel, with Jesus, really, and he's blinded, right? And his name has changed and his purpose has changed. And he comes to Christ and he decides, wow, I have a horrible past. I was doing really bad stuff. God's given me another chance. And his name has changed from Saul to Paul. And Paul transitions from this persecutor of Christianity to this missionary. And he ends up being a guy who does lots and lots of trips, traveling to all different areas and regions, sharing the message of God, and his life is truly transformed. But he's the one writing, and he's talking to Timothy, and he's saying this, look, dude, Timothy's a young pastor. Paul's trying to encourage him. He says, look, you know my teaching. I have faithfully taught the word of God. My life has been changed. You know my life. You know the conversion experience I've had. You know that I've changed. You know my purpose? My purpose now is to share the gospel, and especially to reach the non-Jews, to reach out to people. He ends up being a major missionary to the Roman people, the people who aren't really the Israelites, right? And so he talks in this little section about his faith, the sincerity of his belief, how much he cares about the church he's trying to reach. He talks about his patience. I don't know if you guys realize, you know how many books of the Bible Paul's written? A lot. Like Philippians, Ephesians, Galatians. There's a whole bunch of letters in the New Testament he's written. He went to those cities. He cares about those people. The words in those letters are to people that he cared about. So he's urging Timothy, look, hey, I spent time helping people grow. All right, I've written tons and tons of letters. My love for people, I care deeply about them. His endurance. Many times Paul was persecuted for himself, right? Check this out. If you knew that this guy was persecuting and putting Christians in jail, would you want to invite him into your home if you were believers? No, you'd probably be afraid of him. And you might question even his transformation. Did he really change? Is he really a spy? Is he going to turn us over to the government and not be allowed to follow our faith? So he was persecuted, and then he suffered a lot. Like, he was put in prison, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was tortured. Paul suffered a lot for his faith. I don't know that you and I are going to be called to suffer to that degree. But Paul does urge to say, look, you might face some suffering today. And maybe it's in the form of hunger, because it's past lunchtime and you didn't quite finish your project. Maybe it's you're uncomfortable with your shoes and you've got a blister or something. Maybe it's small like that. Or maybe it's, hey, you don't really get along maybe with some of the people on your team and you feel a little bit of relational persecution. Maybe it's the people in Kalamazoo. They don't trust you. They don't know you. And so you feel some resistance from the people that you're going to meet today. Maybe when you go back home, maybe it's tension and persecution at home, or maybe it's at your school later this fall. Maybe being a follower of God isn't popular in your area, at your school. Maybe it's a struggle. Maybe you're going to have to sacrifice some things in some ways that we won't know about. But get this. Paul is urging us, look at his life, look at his teaching, look at his suffering, hold on to this, and he's going someplace with it. He urges us to remain faithful to the teachings of the Bible. That's where he's going to go with it. So I want to read to you out of this book called Overcomer. Dr. David Jeremiah writes about overcoming weakness with strength. So check this out. This Canadian speed skater, Danny Morrison, won his first Olympic medal in 2006, and he continued winning medals right through the 2014 Winter Olympics. After that, his eyes were firmly set on the 2018 Games in South Korea. But in May 2015, Morrison was in a horrific motorcycle accident and barely survived multiple serious injuries, including one that left him with a titanium rod in his leg. As soon as possible, he began the arduous process of rehabilitation and training, still determined to qualify for the 2018 Olympics. But the next year, after he and his girlfriend Josie Spence completed a three-week bike trip, Spence noticed suspicious behavior in Morrison. He had slurred speech, a droopy face, left side weakness, and a left flip-flop that kept falling off. Spence knew the signs. She rushed Morrison to the hospital when he was diagnosed with having had a stroke. Again, Morrison recovered and drove back into training, now also struggling with the mental effects and after effects of the stroke, including depression. Remarkably, in 2017, he and Spence, also a Canadian speed skater, both qualified to represent Canada in the 2018 Winter Olympics. Can you believe that? This guy was able to get back to the Olympics. That's crazy. Training for that little competition pushes an athlete to their limits, but Morrison's teammates repeatedly said that he was their inspiration to keep going no matter what. His coach called him the most resilient person he'd seen. And although Morrison didn't medal in 2018, his journey to get there was a victory by itself. Describing his grit and determination, Morrison said, "It's human nature to encounter adversity, and when you do, there's a choice you have to make. Are you going to fight? Are you going to overcome? Are you going to work toward your goals? Are you going to give up and fail?" He says, "When things stand in your way between you and what you want to achieve, it's that grit factor that gets you where you want to go. Goals don't come easy for anyone, no matter what your line of work is. But if you think you can make a gritty attempt to push forward, you'll surprise yourself and everyone else with how far you can go." You guys, it might take a little grit this week. Maybe you're tired right now. And just to get the day going, just to get into the attitude and the mindset of serving, sometimes can take a little grit. You might face that later today in the afternoon. You might face it tomorrow or even Thursday. It's going to take some grit at some point for you to persevere, for you to push through, and not be selfish, to give to your team, to give to the community. It's not easy. But I want to take a look at the next part of this verse in Timothy, 2 Timothy. Can you give me the next slide there for the scripture? Yeah. Would somebody read that part?
"But you have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our life. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work."
Yeah. You guys, that's our theme, to be equipped this morning. Paul gives a great section of Scripture. Why does the Bible exist? Why is Scripture important? And he gives some really key things that I have underlined there for you. But check this out. If you look at the next slide, can you bring that up, Margaret? Thanks. Purpose of Scripture. Why do we have the Bible? What is it good for? To give us wisdom to receive salvation. Is that a good thing? How else do we know that Jesus died for our sins and can forgive us? Through the Scriptures, right? We didn't get to live when he lived, so we read about it through eyewitness accounts of what happened, and we're told in the Scripture. So it gives us wisdom for salvation. To teach us the truth, right? We learn about God. We learn about what's true in the world. We learn about values. We learn about the next part, to realize our own sin. The Bible helps convict us and show us what is right and wrong. It corrects us to, hey, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be cussing and swearing and lying and cheating and stealing and doing all that stuff. Why? Well, God says, look, that's not what the people of God are supposed to be about. We're supposed to be loving and kind and caring and generous. And God's like, look, here's a different value system. So it corrects us. And to equip us, it gives us tools for helping reach the world, helping make a difference, to helping make an impact. So, you know, again, I thought I could just stand up here and teach you about what Scripture teaches us, or we could just do it. Okay? So I wanted to make a tool, a way, an example. One small piece that I could equip you today so you could go out and be able to use some of that on your trip this week. So here's what we're going to do. I've got some bracelets for you. Pass these around. I want you to take two of those. I'm just going to send a bag with you. Pass those around down there. Send a bag with you. Pass those down. So you guys, I'm going to call these bracelets of hope. Okay? They share the message of God. So I want you to go ahead and open one up and put it on. Okay? And here's the challenge. You're going to get one for yourself and one to give away this week. I mean, you can put them both on if you want. But here's the deal. I want you to learn what the colors mean. I want you to learn a little bit of the story that goes with it so that you can be able to share that with somebody else. So in a few minutes, you're actually going to get into some smaller groups and you're going to practice learning what the colors mean and sharing the story of God. You guys, I want to equip you. This is just one tool, an evangelism tool, really, to have an opportunity, a tool to share your faith. Okay, so up on the screen, we've got everybody find gold on your bracelet. Okay, so you point to it and say, "All right, gold. Gold equals God's love." Okay, everybody say, "Gold, love."
Gold, love.
Oh, that's weak. Gold, love.
Gold, love.
What does gold mean?
Love.
Love. What color is love?
Gold.
Gold. Okay. Talks about God's love. How many of you guys know John 3:16? "For God so loved the world, and he gave his only son, Jesus," right? You guys know that verse? "Whoever puts his faith and believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Great Bible verse. Black is sin. Everybody say sin.
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 Oh, really loud. Sin. Wake up the campers outside. Sin. Okay, gold is what?
Love.
Black is?
Sin.
What color is sin?
Black.
Alright, so let's do the next one. Red. Everybody say blood.
Blood.
I heard one. Blood. Say it with me.
Blood.
What color is blood?
Red.
If you're human, right? Jesus died for our sins, right? That's the story right there. Everybody say white.
White
is clean. Everybody say clean. White.
Clean.
White. It's clean. What color is clean?
White.
Okay. And white is talking about believing in Jesus and being forgiven. Okay? That you're cleansed, you're clean from your sin, you're forgiven. And that's in Romans 10, 9 and 10, and John 1 John 1, 9. And everybody say green.
Green.
Everybody say grow.
Grow.
Everybody say green.
Green.
Everybody say grow.
Grow.
What color is growing?
Green.
Green. Okay, that's not hard, right? Grow in our faith. So here's how the story goes. Hey, you know what? Can I share my bracelet of hope with you? Okay. Great. Well, let me just tell you a story. Here's the thing. This gold color, God loves you. Gold represents God's love. He loves you. He cares about you. And I can share John 3:16 with you. And then you know what? Here's the sad news. That was good news. Here's the sad news. This color black, it's kind of dirty, and it represents our sin. We mess up. We do bad stuff. Would you agree that we do bad stuff sometimes? Are you with me? You're telling this story to somebody, right? And black represents our sin. The Bible says in Romans 3 that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all messed up and screwed up. But you know what? That's not the end of the story. Let me tell you about the red color. The red color is about Jesus' blood. He died for our sin. His sacrifice, because he loves you and wants to remove that black sin in your life, he died on the cross as a sacrifice for you. Are you tracking me? This is how I'm going to tell the story. And then white, that you can make a decision to have Jesus' sacrifice count for you. You can be forgiven and clean. White represents being clean. You can believe in Jesus and be forgiven. And it doesn't stop just there. Then you need to grow in your faith. And that's what the green color is about. It's about growing in our faith. Are you with me? That's kind of how the story works. All right? So here's what I want to do briefly. I want you to turn to a friend of yours. Find a buddy. Find a partner. Okay? One of you is going to go first, and then you're going to switch roles, and the other person is going to go. I want you to walk through the colors. You can use the slide on the screen for a reference, or each of your bracelets came with a piece of paper, and you can tell the story using that piece of paper if you want. Okay? So I want you to practice this. Yeah, this is important stuff. I really want you to grab a hold of it so you can know it well enough to communicate it in a positive way to somebody who might need it. Maybe it's a friend member, right? Maybe it's somebody you'll meet today or this week. Who feels confident they can come up here and share it with their friend that they just did? Okay, what are your guys' names?
I'm Brett.
Brett? All right, Brett, you're going to share with what's your name? Dan? All right, Brett's going to share with Dan. So these guys meet. Hey, all right.
Hey. So here is a bracelet that I'm wearing right now. And I have one for you, too. And the reason I'm giving this to you is because there's this gold color, and that means love, and that is for God's love for you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. It's the first part of it. So, love. And then the second one is black, and that is for our sin, and that is a bad thing. So that's black, because black is a dark color. Now, here's red next, because red is for Jesus' blood that he shed while dying for you. So all that black darkness, he put on himself and then bounced to the grave. And then white is for how clean you can be, because white is a light color. And so you can be like good, like the light color, because Jesus took all that black darkness away from you. And then green. Green is for your growth in your love for Jesus. So you just got to keep on growing in that too.
All right, give him a round of applause. All right, Brett, thank you. That was great. Nice job. Nice job.
That was great.
All right, guys, this is the challenge. Keep one for yourself. Give one away this week, okay? Try to build a relationship. Try to find a way to do that. And at the end of the week, maybe we'll have some stories about an opportunity to share or give your bracelet away. The goal isn't that people all come to Christ all of a sudden. It's just take that step of opportunity, share the story of the bracelet, give it away. And don't give it away unless you're going to share the story. Does that make sense? Don't just give out free bracelets. Tell them. That's kind of the condition. Explain the story, give it away. You guys, I don't want to make the assumption that everybody in the room has already given their faith or life to Christ and put their faith in Jesus. If you've never done that, and we're going to go out and try to share our faith, it'd be good if you'd already put your faith in Jesus before you go share about Jesus. Does that make sense? So I'm just going to pray a prayer, an opportunity for you to put your faith in Christ if you've never done that before. So would you pray with me? God, I don't know where everybody is at in the room with their heart, with their spiritual life. Maybe they put their faith in you a long time ago. Maybe there's some people wrestling with who you are and what you've done for them even right now. But God, here's the deal. You love us. But we've messed up. We sin. We do bad stuff. And in our hearts, we have done things that offend you. And we need to be forgiven. God, Jesus died for our sin on the cross. He shed his blood. And anybody who puts their faith in him, asks him to forgive them, you promised will be forgiven and given new life. So now, is there anybody in the room who wants to put their faith in you and say, you know what? God, I'm sorry for the bad stuff I've done. Would you please forgive me? Jesus, I need you. Would you cleanse me and make me clean? Would you help me to follow you? Would you give me new life? Would you give me strength to honor you with my life? God, you promised anybody who puts their faith in you, who puts their belief in you, that you died on the cross for our sins and want to forgive us. If we put our faith in you and what you've done, you promise that we are forgiven and given eternal life in heaven. So God, would you help us grow? Would you help us know you better? Would you help us share that message with the people of Kalamazoo? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that maybe for the first time, or maybe just renewed that commitment, tell your youth leader. Let somebody in your group know, just so they can help you connect and grow. Because I don't want to just end there. I want to close with another slide here. Can you give me another one, Margaret? Yeah. You guys, remember the song, Live Like That? How can we live like that? Well, you might be doing some manual labor today, right? You might be weeding or digging or planting, and it might take some grit to do that. You might be doing just some general acts of service. You might be cleaning or sorting or fixing things. Or you might be sharing some words of love with people. You might be giving some encouragement or some hope. Or maybe just quietly, you're praying for all the people that you see. Yesterday, I went down and saw the Naperville group down serving at the Kalamazoo Gospel Mission. As I'm walking around the building, there are homeless men and women just sitting in doors and corridors and with their bags or their backpack with their only set of belongings. Or they're getting off the bus at the bus station and they're just walking and they don't have work and they don't have shelter and they're coming to the Gospel Mission for food. Or they're just hanging out waiting for someone to come by to maybe give them a handout, okay? Or they might be on their way to the thrift store because they can't afford to go to Walmart. So they're there at the thrift store looking for some clothing that they're going to wear. And maybe try to find a job. You know, it's tough. But you don't know who you're going to see. But you can be praying for them in your mind as you see them, as you talk with them. And so let me just leave you with this. The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. There's a really cool verse in Matthew that says this. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or in need of clothes and give you clothing? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you? And that's where this verse comes in. It says, then the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. You don't know who you're going to be serving today, but you might be making a really, really big impact on them. So thanks. Have a good morning.